This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
It says that there is a man, one man. But when you say Ahad, you cannot describe something with it, except Allah Azza wa Jal. So you say one man, but you cannot say Ahad man. You say Rajulun Wahid, but you can't say Rajulun Ahad. This can only be described to Allah Azza wa Jal, and therefore Ahad can only be used with Allah when used alone. Allahu Ahad. You don't even say Al-Ahad, because this name is only for Allah Azza wa Jal. And this name, Wahid and Ahad, puts in your heart, cements in your heart, whenever you do anything, that you do it for the sake of Allah. Whenever you pray for the sake of Allah. Whenever you give in charity, you give it for the sake of the one, Al-Wahid, Al-Ahad. Because he has nothing similar to him. There is no partner with him. So he's the only one deserving of being worshipped alone. No son, no father, no partner. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. All perfection is due to him. All beautiful attributes are describing him alone, and no one else can share all of this. And this is why we always focus on tawheed, on the oneness of Allah Azza wa Jal, so that people, whenever they do, whatever they do, they always worship Allah alone. Finally, we come to the fifth name. And the name we are studying is As-Samad. And this is mentioned in the same surah, 112. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. He's the one. Allahu Samad, the one with the eternal refuge. And this is what some scholars interpret As-Samad by. And we will come to that, inshallah. So what is As-Samad? This is the only location in the whole Quran where Allah Azza wa Jal named himself with As-Samad. So what does it mean? If you go to the books of tafsir, you'll find a number of interpretations. And they all revolve around the same meaning, and they all are true. So remember, Arabic is a beautiful, vast language. One single word could have a number of meanings, and they're all true. For example, the letter Ayn. This is a letter in the alphabet. My name is Asim. The first letter is Ayn. But Ayn itself can mean an eye. This is called Ayn. It can mean a spring of water. It can mean a spy. He is a Ayn. He's a spy. It can mean the essence of things. Aynu shay. And there are a number of other meanings. So when you come to a word such as As-Samad, and you find different meanings, you know that all these meanings are valid and true when they are describing the greatness of Allah Azza wa Jal. So what are some of these meanings? Number one, if you go to the ayah, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ, say, he is Allah, the one. Allahu Samad, Allah, the one who is the eternal refuge, where we all go to seek refuge in. What does that mean? What comes after it in verse 3 explains it. الَّذِي لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ, the one who's not born, does not beget and is not born. So some scholars say As-Samad means what comes after it. The one who is not begotten and does not beget. Others say, no, As-Samad in Arabic means the master, where all his subjects raise to him what they need, and he fulfills them all. And to him is the ultimate in lordship. Nobody is higher than him. A third meaning is the one who remains and never perishes, never dies. And this is all describing Allah Azza wa Jal. And Az-Zajjaj, one of the great scholars of Arabic language, says that As-Samad is the master whom all his subjects go to with their needs. And this is the truth that Allah is As-Samad. Imam al-Shinqiti, may Allah have mercy on his soul, said in his beautiful book, Adwa'ul Bayan, that As-Samad is the master whom alone, in times of calamities, in time of catastrophes, people run to him, seeking his protection and guidance. He's the one that is above all human needs and attributes. So he does not eat, and he does not require to eat or to breathe or to have these things that humans are in need of, because he's independent. He doesn't need anything. And he, the Almighty, is the one that all of his creation run to in times of trouble. Even the atheists, by the way, even the Jews and the Christians, even the Hindus and the Sikhs and all other denominations, they may say otherwise. But when death comes to them, when they are in a plane that is about to crash land, and they reckon that they're dying, or they're close to dying, they say, "Oh God." And they mean and intend the creator of the heavens and the earth. They mean and intend Al-Wahid Al-Ahad. They mean and intend As-Samad. They have no one else to take what they want to except him, Azza wa Jal. This is why when we say As-Samad, it fills our hearts with comfort and tranquility. We know in this world, so many fitna, so many calamities, so many tribulations, but we know that there is no escape except through Allah Azza wa Jal. So it fills our hearts with tranquility, and we feel safe and secure because we have a master to run to and to raise our hands and ask him to solve our problems. This is our Lord, Al-Raziq Al-Razzaq, Al-Wahidu Al-Ahad, As-Samad. We have a short break. Stay tuned, and inshallah, we'll be right back.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today I'm going to talk about the book Interactions of the Greatest Leader. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam reminded us through his guidance and example that Islam is complete submission to the will of Allah. For one who submits, a mere declaration or display of belief will not be taken for success, but his or her heart and soul will certainly be put to test. Allah tested the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam severely in order that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam becomes an example for his companions to follow. Similarly, he tests the believer to see whether he lives a righteous life in accordance with the instructions and commands set by Allah, or lives according to what his desires dictate, whether the faith he displays is firmly rooted in his heart, or is it merely on the surface. He will be tested to see whether he will continue to have faith and love of Allah when in a calamity, as he does when in comfort, whether he will continue to remember and worship him if given bounties and comforts of life, as he does when he lives a modest life. Allah will undoubtedly test him to see if his faith, trust and love of him is unconditional, or is it conditioned upon good health and a comfortable life free from stress and anxiety. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed us through his own example that For a righteous Muslim, this life is a testing ground where he will continue to be tested until he meets Allah. For him, tests will be conducted on earth while he lives, and not after he dies. He knows that as soon as death arrives and he steps into the next world, his tests are over. There, he only receives the result of his tests and enjoys the fruits of the deeds that he committed during a short span of time called life.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, and welcome back. Raqib from Bangladesh. Raqib. Raqib, bye. Okay. Mahfouz from Indonesia.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
How are you, Sheikh?
Alhamdulillah, hayakallah.
Okay. Sheikh, my question is regarding the Taraweeh prayer.
Yes, sir.
When we pray Taraweeh, which the rak'ah is conducted in two units as usual. So during the tashahud, in every end of each two rak'ah, do we sit in the iftiras position or in the tawarruk position? And do we read the salutation to the Prophet in every tashahud on the second rak'ah?
Okay, I will answer inshallah. Suhail from Malaysia.
Assalamu alaikum, Shaykhuna.
Assalamu wa rahmatullah.
Shaykh, one question. So there is this hadith from Sahih al-Bukhari, where the Prophet says, السلام, we are an illiterate nation, we neither write nor know accounts, the month is hakadha wa hakadha.
Okay.
So my question is, when he says we are an illiterate nation, I try to check some interpretations. This means we are an illiterate nation when it comes to revelation, right, Shaykh? Not as in we are illiterate in the literal sense, isn't it, Sheikh?
So I will explain that, inshallah. Aqib from India.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
My question is, since there is a difference of opinion and three out of four schools of thought say that there is no zakat on jewelry which we wear. So if anyone who does not follow a particular madhab follows that opinion, is he sinful?
Okay, I will answer, inshallah. And we have Faizan from India.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Alaikum assalamu alaikum wa barakatuh.
Sheikh, actually, I am praying five times namaz, alhamdulillah. And I am reading Quran, I am studying medicine. But actually, I am suffering from waswas. I am not able to concentrate on anything. I am wondering where these thoughts are these thoughts are from my own, or these are from shaitanic whispers. I know these are shaitanic whispers, but still I'm getting confused. Then I start discussing with my brother. And when I start discussing with my brother, this cycle starts continuously. I know before that the result is zero, but still it urges me to start thinking whether it is a sin or it's not a sin.
I will answer, inshallah. Omar from China.
Hello. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Assalamualaikum.
Yeah, Sheikh, my question is, in the Quran, there is a place where you have to make sajda. So, Sheikh, I want to know, like, for example, like Surah Al-Ahzab, where, sorry, not Surah Al-Ahzab, but Surah Al-Hajj, there is a prostration. So, Sheikh, if I'm in Salah, if I'm praying Qiyam at night, do I have to prostrate or I can skip it? It's not compulsory.
Okay. Muhammad from the U.S.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Assalamu alaikum.
Sheikh, my question is, I heard a saying, I'm not sure if it is authentic or not. So it says, and Hafiz who have memorized the Quran can take 10 people with him in the Jannah. So I wanted to know, like, if it is authentic or not.
Okay, I will answer, Sean. And Sumaya from the UAE.
Yes. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
In Surah Ra'd, ayah number 13, and the thunder exalts with praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the angels as well. So in the explanation of the tafsir, it is said that Rad is the name of an angel and he is in charge of clouds and he drives away as ordered by Allah and he glorifies his praise. Is this explanation correct?
Okay, I will answer inshallah. Ahmed from the UK.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa barakatuh.
Sheikh, I have a question, but it has two sides to it. If you feel like this is a second question, feel free to reject the other side of the question.
Okay.
So the question is, I had this pillar of Salat, I think, be at ease. But what if someone is say for example, someone's in sujood, but their feet are shaking or their feet are moving, does their prayer become invalid? And the other side of the question is, what if somebody has a condition where they just shake?
I did not hear the first part of your question. What is a pillar?
Being at ease.
Being at ease, okay.
And if somebody like shakes, like the, for example, their feet are moving during sajda, is their prayer valid?
And, okay.
Yeah.
I will answer, inshallah. Muhammad from the Philippines. Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Salamatullah.
How are you, Sheikh?
I'm doing well, alhamdulillah. How are you?
I'm fine, Sheikh.
Yes, sir.
Alhamdulillah. So, Sheikh, my question is, Sheikh, I get so many bad thoughts, Sheikh, that I do not like, I do not talk about or act upon these thoughts, but I do not know whether these thoughts are intentional or unintentional, which makes me scared and always repeats the Shahada because I'm afraid that I'm a kafir. Does this impact my Islam, Sheikh?
Okay. I will answer, inshallah. Thaqib from Bangladesh.
Assalamu alaikum.
Salamatullah.
Is it shirk if someone do any sin for someone's love, such as someone's take interest or someone's take bribe for his wife?
So he does a sin. He does a sin for the sake of his wife?
Yes.
Okay. We have Sharif from India.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Shantullah.
Sheikh, I had just one question, which was that sometimes after we eat food, we feel somewhat lazy, so we delay Isha. Sometimes during the day, we feel sleepy, so we delay Dhuhr. Please note that delaying doesn't mean that he's praying it after the time has ended. He's praying it in time. Is such laziness haram and a sign of prophet?
Okay. I will answer, inshallah. And finally, Kawthar from the U.S.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Shantallah barakatuh.
Sorry, I have a question that I have a problem with waswasa.
Okay.
And whatever action I do in daily basis, a kufr thought comes to my mind regarding to my actions. So when I pray and want to prostrate, a kufr image come to my mind in front of my face. So my question is, if I continue to prostrate while the kufr thought is still in my mind, does it mean that I act upon it and I committed kufr? Also, Sheikh, when I want to sit in a chair, whispers comes to my mind that I sit on a holy name, wala'udhu billah.
Okay, I'll answer inshallah, Kawthar. So, Mahfoud from India. When we pray Taraweeh, do we sit in iftirash position or tawarruk position? And I don't have to go into explaining this. If you watch my video on YouTube about the form or the way of the Prophet's prayer, alayhi salatu wasalam, you will understand this. So the answer would be no. When you pray two rak'ahs that has only one final tashahud in the second rak'ah where you sit, you always sit iftirash. Tawarruk is done when you pray three rak'ahs with a first tashahud in the second and a final tashahud in the third. This is when you do the tawarruk in the third rak'ah. But if you're praying three rak'ahs like witr and you don't sit in the second rak'ah because it's not maghrib and you stand up to the third and you pray the third, you also do iftirash, not tawarruk. So tawarruk is only when a prayer has two tashahud in it. Suhail from Malaysia. He says there is a hadith, نحن أمة أمية لا نقرأ ولا نكتب. We are an illiterate nation. We do not read and write. So he's saying that, is this referring to revelation? The answer is no. This is referring to an essence of our religion, not illiteracy, rather than it is referring to how we calculate the months entering and exiting. So if you go to the Gregorian calendar, only a handful of people on earth can determine that today is the 22nd of April. See, I can't do that except with looking at my watch or my calendar. If someone was in a coma and all of a sudden wakes up and he looks and, I don't know, today might be the first of the month, might be 15, might be the 30th. However, in Islam, things are made easy. You don't need calculations. You don't need astronomy or astrology to tell you what day or what month or what hour or when to pray. All what you have to do is look at the sun setting and rising. This is how we determine the times of prayer. Anyone, any layman, any farmer, anyone could determine this. And likewise, to know when the month begins or ends, this is why it's called lunar months. So if I wake up from a coma, may Allah forbid, and I watch the moon at night, I say, okay, this is approximately 7 or 8 in the month. When it's full moon, I know that it's 13th, 14th, or 15th. It's in the middle of the month. When the crescent is not there, I know that this is the end of the month and the beginning of the new month. This is what is meant. We don't calculate. We are illiterate. That we don't depend on astrology to determine whether the month is born or, as they say, the crescent is born tomorrow or the day after. No, we depend on eyesight. Aqib from India, he says, if the three major schools of thought say that there is no zakat on gold that a woman wears, and I am not following a particular madhab, can I choose this opinion? The answer is no. If you don't follow a particular madhab, this means that you are one of two. Either you are a person from Ahlul Hadith, Salafi, who follows the evidence from the Quran and Sunnah, wherever it may be, regardless of the school of thought. In this case, you have to look into evidences of the three schools of thought and the evidence of the school of thought that says it is mandatory to pay zakat, whether a woman wears it or not. Or you are a person who follows his whims and desires. So he is cherry picking. He is fatwa shopping. He goes with his cart and says, okay, let's see what the schools of thought say about this particular issue. I don't like this. This one looks good. Let me take it. And they have an offer. Take one free as well. This is not permissible. This is not religion of Allah. So either you follow one of the schools of thought and stick to it if you're a layman, or if you're a student of knowledge, then you have to look into their evidences and follow what the evidences state. Faizan from India, he says, I don't know if this wiswas is from my own evil self or from my demons. Either way, it doesn't make a difference, Faizan, because they are in collaboration, your evil self and your demons. So both ways, if you do not talk about it, which unfortunately you did with your brother, or and you did not act upon it, Allah will forgive it. But now, because you spoke about it to your brother, you have to repent to Allah, show remorse, and seek His forgiveness, because that was sinful. You should not talk about it with anyone. Yes, you may, like many people do, call me for counseling, and they say that we have these thoughts about kufr, and we talk them out of it. We walk them out of it and show them how to fight it. But not to go into details, I have this evil thought, I have this kufr thought, and let me explain to you. No, you don't do that. Your fear of Allah blocks you from stating it. Omar from China, how do we perform the sujood of recitation? For example, Surah Al-Hajj has two sajda in the middle and at the end. So if I'm praying Taraweeh or night prayer, and I come to a verse of sajda, and I read it until I finish it, what should I do? Well, you say Allahu Akbar and you go for sujood immediately. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la three times. And then you say Allahu Akbar and you stand up immediately and continue to read. If you don't want to continue to read, you go immediately to ruku' and saying Allahu Akbar. This is the way to be done during Salat. Muhammad from the US, he said that he read a hadith that stated that a hafiz, a person who memorizes the Quran, will intercede for 10 of his family on the Day of Judgment. The hadith is weak, but we are hopeful in Allah's bounty and favors. But the hadith is weak to my knowledge. Sumayya says, I've heard that the ayah وَيُسَبِّحُ الرَّعْدُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَمَلَائِكَةُ مِنْ خِيفَتِهِ, that this ayah refers to thunder that glorifies Allah Azza wa Jal and the angels fearing Allah Azza wa Jal. So there is a hadith, to my knowledge, it's about, narrated by Zubair ibn al-Awwam, may Allah be pleased with me if I'm not mistaken, that Ra'd is the name of an angel who drives with his whip the clouds to places where they're supposed to rain, and his whip, the sound of his whip, is what is making this thunder and lightning, etc. And I believe that this might be an adab al-mufrad, I don't remember now. And to my knowledge, it's an authentic hadith, and there's nothing wrong in that, inshallah. Ahmed from the UK, he says, being at ease, which is translated in Arabic to tuma'nina, is a pillar of salat. So if a person is in sujood and he has an involuntary case of shaking his feet without his will, this has no impact on your salat. And even if you're standing up, this has no impact in your salat. I prayed the other day with a brother, may Allah cure him and grant him good health, who had a stroke in his brain. And when praying, all of a sudden his hand moves involuntarily and goes. He has to grab it and put it back on his chest. So is his prayer valid? Definitely it's valid. But what is meant by tuma'nina, tranquility, at ease, is that when you pray and stand in prayer, you don't move excessively where people who look at you say that, no, this guy is not praying. For example, if I'm praying and all of a sudden I do this and I start, okay. Anyone who looks at me says, this guy can't be praying. He's checking his mobile, he's watching, maybe he's texting. So this means that there's no tuma'nina and that the prayer is invalid. Muhammad from the Philippines, he wants to know if these wiswas thoughts he's getting, is it intentional or from shaitan? Akhi, you're a Muslim. This is a fact and this is certainty. You are praying five times a day. This is by default a Muslim. You are watching an Islamic movie with an Islamic program with Sheikh starring it, giving fatwa, talking about things that I could be on Netflix. Why am I watching the Sheikh? It's boring. I don't have anything better to do. No, you're listening and learning. All of these are certainties indicating that you're a Muslim. The thoughts you're getting, these intrusive thoughts, are they certainty or doubtful? Of course they're not certain. They're doubtful. So doubt has no impact on certainty. Take them and throw them in the dustbin. They would not impact your prayer, your livelihood, your iman. And don't listen, don't argue, don't even debate with such thoughts. Just block them and ignore them as if they did not exist. Whether they're intentional or not, definitely they're not intentional. Otherwise, you would not have been praying and fasting and doing all of these good things, wasting your life with rituals and forms of worship. You would have been somewhere else. Thaqib says, if someone makes a sin, so my wife wants an expensive Louis Vuitton bag, I can't afford it, so I steal to bring it to her. Is this shirk? No, this is sinful. Sharif from India, is delaying the prayer because I am drowsy, though the prayer is done on time, am I sinful? The answer is, if you're living far away from the masjid and you don't qualified to pray in the masjid as a mandation, an obligation, then no. As long as you're praying it within the parameters of the prayer, you're not sinful. But if you live next to the masjid and you hear the adhan, you're obliged to go and you're sinful if you don't. Finally, Kauthar says she gets whispers of kufr when she's prostrating, that she's prostrating to someone else other than Allah. This is shaitan, again, messing up with your head. Why would you pray if you're going to prostrate to someone else? You might as well go to their temple and worship their gods. But because this is shaitan, this is how he confuses you. And this is why we say, if you can afford it, get a counseling session. This would help you open your eyes. Such whispers are not removed by psychiatrists because they want you to vent, to speak, and then they'll say your time is up. Tell me about your childhood. Tell me about when you were abused. Tell me about conflicts in your life. And you just vent, vent, vent. You need someone. Maybe you'll find that with the cleric next door, your authorized imam of the Islamic Center, someone with knowledge to help you open your eyes and show you how shaitan is messing up with you. And then you would feel, inshallah, much, much better. This is all the time we have until we meet Saturday. Not tomorrow. Tomorrow is our day off, Friday. Until we meet Saturday, same time, I'll leave you fi amanillah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
ولله الأسماء الحسنى فادعوه بها وذروا الذين يلحدون في أسمائه سيجزون ما كانوا يعملون